I'm walking on sandy soil on the top of a small plateaued hill on a thin spit of land. A dense mixed temperate forest grows all around. It's a lovely, mild, and sunny spring day in the 70s. To my right is a freshwater lagoon, and on occasion I can catch glimpses of it through the trees as I walk. To the left is an ocean, and I can hear it constantly, but like the lagoon, it peeks in and out of the trees. The air smells of a combination of forest and ocean, sometimes one more than the other. The sun is shining through the trees, creating patterns of shadows and lights throughout the forest. I'm walking along a winding path, and as I walk, I encounter a number of small clearings. And in each clearing is a wooden statue. Some are half my size, some tower over my head. And the statues depict a variety of people and mythological characters. The culmination, the apex of the hill, has a huge dragon battling a knight. Both are about 10 feet up in the air atop tree trunks that are carved into patterns. Dragon's about 5 feet long, its wings spread, its mouth open to attack. The knight's about 8 feet away from it, with a shield in one arm and a sword in the other. All told, as I walk along this path, I pass by about 80 wooden statues on my loop through the forest. The place I just described is the Hill of Witches. There weren't very many witches, that's just what it got the name. I think the witches were the first statues there. And it's near the town of Juodkrantė in Lithuania. The hill and town are on the Curonian Spit. It's a narrow spit of land that stretches across the Baltic Sea. It's half Lithuania, half Russia. And it's thin enough that on sometimes you can see the freshwater lagoon and the ocean at the same time. And being there was one of the most magical experiences that I've ever had. I hope I succeeded in creating something of a you are there feeling for you now in my description. But it happened in May of 2010. Now 7.5 years ago. So obviously it's part of my past. But it's also part of my present, as the memories of it, they still exist right here. So in conjuring up those memories, what I've done is I've created a circle of my past looping back around into my present. As Brandon read a few moments ago from the words of Black Elk, he described how lines can be limiting, whereas circles are much more expansive. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote a similar sentiment, quote, "The life of a man is a self-evolving circle, which from a ring imperceptibly small rushes on all sides outwards to new and larger circles, and that without end. The extent to which this generation of circles, wheel without wheel, will go depends on the force or truth of the individual soul." End quote. If you've ever drawn a symbol for time, think for a moment about how we culturally do so. We start here on the left, right, draw a line, and then I don't know about you, but I always put an arrow on the end to show that it's right, that time isn't ending, that's the future that keeps going out in that direction. Our drawing reveals very clearly what we culturally think about time. So on the one hand, time has a beginning, a point, but that past is behind us, over and done, nothing I can do about it. Right? And we stand at this present moment with our gaze not that direction towards the past, right? Our gaze is in this direction towards the future, the part that's unfolding where the arrow is pointing. So like lines, this idea of time, it divides and it limits, putting the past behind us. There are certainly advantages in having an orientation towards the future. We have to plan. It's not that there's anything wrong with that, but how might we benefit from thinking more circularly, right, and moving more away from our cultural conception of a line, of time being a line? Now, one of those benefits comes from what we just did a moment ago with my description and what we did in the meditation. So one of those benefits from thinking circularly is to make your past relive in your present. Circling and looping our past and our present by reliving those most pleasant and magical parts of our past can lift up our life in the present. I can't help but smile and have my spirit buoyed whenever I think about the Hill of Witches, despite the name. Circular time encourages a creation of special moments like these by returning us to the same experiences and to the same places. Consider what the holidays do for us. A holiday marks a special time in our calendar where we step out of our routine, step out of everyday mundane time, and focus on the celebration of a special moment. Yet our celebration does not take place just in the present. It's being informed by our past. So here we are today at New Year's Eve. New Year's makes us think about the same time, think about the same thing each time we get here, each time we return. So while we stand in this present, we're also standing in our past at the same time in a feedback loop to all the New Year's that we've experienced. So it's not just New Year's 2017 that's informing us today and how we think of New Year's. It's all the New Year's we've had. So all of those times that we've reassessed our past year, all the times we've created a resolution, all the times we've celebrated the coming of another calendar year, right? That's circular time, the cyclical repetition of an event. And if special trips, if holidays can create special moments, then so too can all sorts of habitual and cyclical experiences. Each of us have things we do that are special moments for ourselves, or for us and a friend, or a partner, or a family. It can be nightly time reading, attending a class weekly, visiting a relative monthly, annual family trip, you get the idea. So for one of the things for me and my wife is we attend monthly a vegan potluck in Richmond with a number of Earlham staff and faculty. Not only do we very much look forward to seeing those friends and having good food, it's one of those places where we can eat everything. We don't have to ask what's in all the food. So experiences like these, particularly those ones that can become habitual, right? What we're doing is we're making our own circular time on a smaller scale, on a personal scale. So the coming back to the same event, just as New Year's is, as a holiday for our entire culture, right? We can do that in our own lives as well. Circular time can also help us get in better tune with nature and the passage of nature's time. Black Elk's words described how circles are natural. Think about how much time we spend in artificial environments. And on a day like today, I'm glad for that, but on a day-to-day basis, right, we move from our house, right, to our car, to our store, to our workplace. We spend very little time in nature for the most part. So as a result, most of us have grown out of touch with the patterns of nature. As recently as the 1850s, 50% of Americans were involved in agriculture. Right now it's just 2%. There are, for all of us, we don't have to be involved in agriculture, there are, for all of us, spiritual benefits to be had and getting ourselves more in tune with the turning of the seasons and marking the time, turn of time, in the circular manner that nature does. In the words of British witch Talia, by reflecting on themes that coincide with the changes occurring in our surrounding environment, one can observe the balance of light and dark, cause and effect, birth, death, and rebirth that the seasons bring. In opening our awareness to nature, we can reflect on the natural cycles and recognize the, quote, seasons that are present in our own lives, becoming reconnected with the rhythms of the earth, end quote. So we too can use the seasons as Talia does. We can look to our own cyclical turn of the seasons. Right? We can look to our own growth, our own maturation, our own harvest, and our own hibernation. The seasons complete a circle for nature, but they can metaphorically do the same for us. as we regularly and routinely move from the incubation of ideas and emotions to nurturing them, to harvesting them, to sorting that which works well, and storing a portion of the harvest, if you will, for replanting in our future. So whether it is to brighten your present by using your past as a resource, or whether it is creating special moments on a personal level or a cultural level as we're doing today, or whether it is to get more in tune with the circle of the seasons, may your use of circular time make for a blessed 2018. And I wish you all a happy new year.